In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this first Sunday after Pentecost, and it's for quite some time, as long as anyone can remember, it's been the Sunday dedicated to all the saints. There's kind of a back story, you know, back in the original times of the persecutions of the martyrs, there were so many martyrs who, you know, shed their blood for Christ that it was impossible to know all their names. You know, sometimes they were killed in secret or, you know, buried or whatever, and they didn't, Christians didn't always know. So even as early as the 4th century, this Sunday was set aside in their memory. And then later on it became more just all the saints, just a day that we celebrate all the different saints. In the hymn for today that we just sang a few moments ago, it says that in all the world, O Christ our God, thy church is adorned with the blood of thy martyrs, as with purple and fine linen. And through them she cries to thee, send down thy compassion to thy people, grant peace to thy community and to our souls the great mercy. So this is the Triparion for the Sunday of All Saints. And it bears witness to the fact that the saints are alive and with us, even though they are in heaven and we're upon earth. And so to be a Christian is really to be a member of the body of Christ on earth. In other words, the church. And the church exists both in heaven and on earth. The church literally is a family and a community that we become part of from the moment of our baptism. Now, I'm sure we've all known somebody that ran a family business, like maybe a family restaurant or a construction company or something like that. And of course, you know, the purpose then is for the family to, you know, earn their living this way and make, you know, money and support themselves and so on. But in a similar way, as members of Christ's church, we are all involved in a family business, as it were, which is salvation. And unlike a worldly business, though, our family includes all the saints who are now laboring alongside us. Only since they now live in the kingdom of heaven, we usually do not see these saints. And sometimes we can forget that they're there. And yet, by God's providence, their sacred relics and incorrupt bodies are all over the world and serve as places of pilgrimage and miraculous healings and inspiration. There's a tremendous diversity of the kinds of people who make up the vast number of saints. Fishermen, tax collectors, soldiers, kings and queens, beggars, brilliant scholars, and illiterate people. And then there are also the different types of saints. There are martyrs, hierarchs, fools for Christ's sake, ascetics, wonder workers, unmercenaries, apostles. And yet, despite all these differences, the saints all had one thing in common. They were able to live righteous and holy lives and accomplish all the miraculous things they did by the power of the Holy Spirit. So in a way, this feast being positioned right after the event of Pentecost that we just celebrated sort of bears witness to this. When we hear about the lives of some of the saints and how they had many spiritual gifts and accomplished great things, it's tempting to think, well, that's all well and good, but, you know, I have not been given such great spiritual gifts. And so we may tend to feel that we could never be like those great saints. And while it's, of course, a good thing to always strive to be humble and not exalt ourselves or to be ambitious in desiring, you know, great spiritual gifts, at the same time, we can gain a lot of benefit by learning about the lives of the saints and also by asking their help in prayer. I once read about a pious priest who served in a cemetery church in the 7th century. And one night when he was at prayer, he saw a brilliant light hovering over the grave of a newly buried man who had been a soldier. When he went to see where this light was coming from, he saw an angel of God standing there. And at first he was frightened by this, but then he took courage and asked the angel why the newly buried soldier was so special to merit the presence of an angel and his grave surrounded with heavenly light. The angel replied, "It is because not a single day of his life passed without him asking for the prayers of all the saints of whom he had ever heard." So evidently, that's pretty good practice for us to call upon the saints. Of course, you know, from one point of view, one could say, well, of course, God hears our prayers and the Lord Jesus Christ hears our prayers. So, you know, why do we need to call upon saints? And yet, it's pleasing to God to have raised up these saints and to be with him in the kingdom of heaven, including his mother, including John the Baptist and all the apostles. They're there to pray for our for us. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. I mean, he tells us to pray, and yet then he says, but God already knows everything you need, so why does he tell us to pray? I mean, in other words, there's a reason for these things. He wants us to be united together with this, all these saints in heaven, and they will help us. And saints have appeared to people many times, and, you know, saved people from, you know, tragedies or granted healing or all kinds of things. There was another account of a righteous layman in Greece who had gained a reputation of being able to help people with illnesses or problems. And when someone would visit this man, all he would do is ask the person to sit down and he would begin reading from the lives of the saints. And it would very often happen that the illness or problem would disappear and the person would leave in great astonishment. So just reading the lives of the saints kind of puts us in touch with, well, what did they do? How did they live? And we see the workings of the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Lord through their lives. Many people today show reverence for great athletes or other celebrities. I mean, you know, their baseball or football uniforms are on display in halls of fame, and people often pay huge sums of money for some piece of, you know, memorabilia, maybe a signed baseball or the one that was the record-setting home run, you know, thing. Or, of course, many celebrities and famous people, you know, their houses have become museums now, and people visit them almost as though it were a pilgrimage. You know, they'll go, you know, and they can touch the very desk that, you know, Thomas Jefferson sat at or whoever, you know. And there's certainly nothing wrong with honoring someone who's, you know, set a home run record or done something great. But it's interesting that by the same token, many people don't seem to understand why Orthodox Christians would honor some saint, you know, someone who loved God so much and lived a holy life that they worked great miracles. So somehow it's okay to, you know, the guy that set the home run record, you know, to honor him, but it's sort of somehow not okay to venerate Archbishop John Maximovich, whose body is incorrupt and who worked in, you know, tremendous numbers of miracles that are documented by eyewitnesses all over the world. In this gospel for this Sunday, Christ calls us to confess him before men and to love him more than even our own family members and to take up our cross and follow after him. And the saints fulfilled these commandments and in so doing showed us how we can do the same in whatever circumstances we might be in. We might not be able to, or might not be called to give away everything like St. Nicholas once did to save the merchant's three daughters. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but St. Nicholas was heir of a fortune, but he was very pious. He went to church all the time and prayed as a young man. And he heard about a merchant who had three daughters, and the merchant had lost everything in a shipwreck, so he was impoverished. And now he had no dowry, which meant that his daughters could not get married. And he was considering them, sending them out to a brothel, you know, so they could earn some money. And St. Nicholas heard about this, so one night a big bag of gold comes flying through the window, and the merchant is rejoicing because now he can marry off one of his daughters. And then the next night, another bag of gold comes flying through the window. And so this time the merchant was determined to find out who his benefactor was, so he waited by the window, and sure enough, third night, third bag of gold comes flying through the window, and he runs down St. Nicholas and finds out that it was him. And so that, you know, that's an extreme example. So maybe God isn't calling us to withdraw all our money from the bank and throw it through the window of some, you know, poor person or something. But we can certainly give generously to support our church and help the poor. We can do that much at least. And we may not be called to shed our blood as the martyrs were, but as St. Simeon, the new theologian, said, in times past, many chose death through martyrdom rather than deny Christ. And now, when we, through the grace of Christ, live in times of peace, we learn that the cross and death consists in nothing else than the complete mortification of self-will. He who pursues his own will never be able to observe the precepts of Christ the Savior. So in other words, we can't really serve God and mammon. We can't really do our own thing and do what we want to do and also do what Christ wants us to do, because often those are very much at odds. And finally, the taking up of our cross really means not necessarily being killed, you know, on a cross, but actually it's a representation of all the struggles that we have in our life. We might have financial problems, we might have family problems, we might have illnesses, who knows? you know, whatever struggles. And this becomes the cross that we have to take up and carry with patience, knowing that God has permitted us to have these trials and tribulations. As it says in the epistles, you know, for God chastens those he loves, you know. So rather than look at it like, oh no, how could I possibly have this, you know, illness, or how could I possibly have this financial trouble or whatever it is? I'm a good Christian, you know. And yet, if you can stop and think about it for a minute, God permitted us to have this struggle. And by just taking up that cross, we actually gain spiritual benefit. You know, we acquire virtues of patience and humility and so forth. So let us make whatever effort we can to confess Christ before men, to love him above all, and to take up our cross and all the struggles that God permits us to have. And let's remember that although we often lack the strength to fulfill these things, the saints are quick to hear our prayers and will help us in every way. So holy saints of God, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.